It's like a big burden has been lifted off of you, you know, and it's a good feeling, a very good feeling. I'm ready. Yeah. If I died today, I know that I would go to heaven. I do. I know that.
Stay good day. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear from a woman who thought that she was right with God, but then discovered she really wasn't. Then we'll hear why she's so confident now.
My name is Jimmy Fish. I'm of the Creek tribe, and I live in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I was born in Wetumpka, Oklahoma, and it was just a little bitty small town. It wasn't very big. We were very poor people. There was 8 children in our family. There was 6 boys and myself and my sister. You know, we grew up in a good home, a loving home. My daddy was a carpenter, and he didn't always have work. So we grew up very, very poor. And I remember there was times when, for supper even, we only had fried bread and syrup. You know, that was all we had to live on. And I didn't like sweets, still don't care too much for sweets. So all I would eat would be a piece of fried bread, and that's what I would have for dinner. So it was hard growing up. My daddy bought a cow one time, and we had milk, you know, fresh milk and fresh butter, and he would churn his own milk. He separated it, and it was this big old container. You had to turn the wheel, and it would separate the milk and the cream. And so they would take the cream, and that's what they would make our butter from. So we had milk and butter. We didn't always have meat to eat. Most of the time it was just beans and, you know, bread, a lot of cornbread. We had a lot of beans and cornbread. And like I said, sometimes we only had fried bread and syrup for dinner. You know, in the summertime, my dad grew a garden, and he had a green thumb because he could grow, you know, anything. And I loved the summer because we always had a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. And usually that was the one time that we had meat, which was chickens that he raised, you know. So we had a lot of chicken. In the fall, we would have to go and pick cotton, and we'd pick cotton, and instead of being paid for it, they took it out in trade for, you know, a hog or something like that. And it was really, you know, I guess at the time, sometimes I would get embarrassed because, you know, I thought people knew how poor we was, and I was always ashamed that we were so poor. Although my mom and dad loved us and gave us a good home and provided for us, it was just something in me, you know, that I always felt kind of ashamed because I thought people knew we were poor. I got married when I was 16 years old, so I had my first baby when I was 18. My husband and I left, and he went to school at Okmulgee Tech. He was 4 years older than me, so he went to college for a couple of years, and then we moved to Okmulgee Tech, and he went to school there. And while we were there, we had our second baby. You know, we were living on $55 a week, and we thought we were rich so, because we had, you know, we had $55, and we thought we were doing really good. So when I was young, I always had thoughts about being saved before I was 12 years old. And actually it wasn't thoughts of being saved. It was the thought that I needed to be baptized before I was 12 years old. And for some reason, that age stuck in my mind, and I'm not really sure why. I don't know if that's kind of what I was taught when I was young or what, but that was kind of what it was stuck in my mind. So before I turned 12 years old, I was in the Native churches here in Oklahoma. In my tribe, we have what we call camp houses, And we were out in the camp house, and one of the deacons came by and told everybody we had to go in church. So all of us kids went in church, and we stayed there for a while, and then they had the invitation, and they, I closed my eyes because they were singing, and I closed my eyes, and I felt what I thought somebody grabbed me, and it scared me because it felt like somebody had grabbed my clothing in the front and was pulling me, and I opened my eyes to see who was there, and there was no one there, and it scared me. So, but I felt like I needed to go to the front, and so when I went to the front, I told the preacher that I came because I wanted to get baptized. And at that time, I really didn't understand what being saved was. I thought I did, but I really didn't. But it was just the way that, you know, in our church, they spoke the native language. The preachers all preached in Creek. And so a lot of it I didn't understand. But, I mean, as I got older, I do understand a lot of the language now. But at that time, I didn't. But I was just going by what I felt that day. But what I didn't understand was that, you know, you have to be saved. And being baptized does not save you. That is just an obedience to God. But at the time, I didn't understand that. And that I was baptized, and then when I got a little bit older, I taught Sunday school, and I taught GAs, which is Girls Auxiliary, and I worked in the church for a long time. I was always raised in church and everything, but when I got married and was out on my own, then for a long time, I didn't go to church. And my mom, when we'd go to my mom's for a visit or something, she would always ask us, you know, do you want to go to church? And I always had an excuse, you know, because back then you did not wear pants to church. And so I always used that as an excuse. Well, I can't because I didn't bring a dress, or I don't have a dress to wear, and this is all I have, or I have on shorts or something like that. And I realize now that, you know, I must have really disappointed my mom. And I remember my mom always read the Bible, and late at night when we would be at home, you know, when we would go to her home for the weekend, late at night, she would be sitting there reading the Bible and praying and stuff. And I know now that she probably was praying for us, you know, for all of her children. There was eight of us, and she was probably praying for all of us, you know, because none of us actually went to church when we got older. Then in 1982, when my mom died, I had a real strong desire to go back to church. And so I, you know, went to church for a long time, but there was always something missing. And I always, you know, I taught, like I said, I taught Sunday school and worked in the church and did what I could. And I always, you know, thought by doing all of that I was saved. But then in 1989, our church, Glorieta Baptist Church, went on a mission trip to Dulce, New Mexico. And there was a young man that came there one night, and they had told us that they were satanic worshipers around that area where we were at. And one night, this young man came to the mission we were at, and he was really, his clothes were really dirty and torn, and he said he hadn't slept for like 3 days because he had been on some kind of a drug, you know. But our kids, our youth, stayed with him and talked to him, and he accepted the Lord that night. But all this time, I had this feeling that there was something missing in my life, and I couldn't really understand. I knew what was going on, but I couldn't understand why I was having these feelings that something in my life wasn't right. And so when we came back from the mission trip, it was July the 26th, 1989, that I realized that I was not saved. And so I went to the altar that Sunday, and when I got up there, I told the pastor, I said, I realized that, you know, that I'm not saved. I've been baptized, but I had never accepted the Lord as my Savior. I knew that there was a void in my life. The void in my life was caused by sin. And I know that, you know, being good does not mean you're saved. We're all born with sin. And until you accept the Lord as your Savior, your life is still full of sin. Sin keeps us separated from God. And God erases that sin. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, that sin is taken away from you because He died for our sin. And without accepting Jesus and confessing that Jesus is Lord, that sin separates you from God, and it separates you from knowing the kind of love God has for you. And the penalty for that sin is death. Unless you accept Jesus as your Savior, you know, you can go to church, you can do a lot of things, and that's what I did. I went to church, I believed in what I was teaching in Sunday school, but yet I had never accepted Jesus as my Savior. And if I had died before I done that, then I know I would have busted hell wide open, because I was not right in God's eyes, and I was not right with God. And so I would have, you know, I would have went straight to hell. And I know that because I had not professed the Lord as my Savior. And like I said, I was baptized, and I thought, you know, that baptism saved you from sin, but it doesn't. A baptism is just an obedience to God, you know, telling everybody that you have confessed Jesus as your Lord. So on that day, I accepted Jesus into my heart and accepted Him as my Savior. And, you know, life for me was just so different. It's like a big burden has been lifted off of you, you know, and it's a good feeling, a very good feeling. I'm ready. Yeah. If I died today, I know that I would go to heaven. I do. I know that.
Do you have confidence that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? You can, if you will humble yourself and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, many are vainly trusting in what they can do, but God calls us to trust completely in what He has done. Listen to Jesus' words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believes on Him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Bible also tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so that no one can boast." My friend, put your trust in Christ and then go and live for Him. If you'd like to know more, visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. If you're on Facebook, you can connect with us at Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.